Thank the Lord for that song this morning, and I didn't ask for it. The Lord did, and it just dovetails so well with the burden the Lord put on my heart to share for this morning. I am thankful that the Lord has, song said, He sees the storm from the other side. And there are things in life that we, our perspective can be hindered and dimmed. We see what's right in front of us many times, and we don't see beyond it. But we serve a God this morning that is cognizant of what is on the other side of things. And when it seems like God is not working, God is working behind the scenes. When we don't see God, He is still there. And I am thankful for the blessings of the Lord, the burden the Lord put on my heart, and I ask an interest in your prayers. I feel very inadequate with words this morning to convey the essence of the message. But I'd like to speak about spiritual vision this morning. I'd like to begin over in the 10th chapter of Mark in the 46th verse. Said they came to Jericho, speaking of Christ, said that He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Now, if you will remember, when Jesus, many times when He walked down the road, said the multitudes followed Him. And I can just see a lot of chaos on the road, and here's Bartimaeus who's blind. He was not able to see what was going on. And if you're blind, you can hear, but you can't see. And he couldn't see who was coming down the road. And I can just envision Bartimaeus on the side of the road, and all of a sudden he heard a big commotion, and he asked him, what's going on? Someone said, well, Jesus is coming. I believe this man had heard about Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was the one that had made the lame to walk. And maybe he had heard of how He'd healed the blind. And he heard him coming, and I could just envision him hearing the commotion getting closer and closer. And right when he got to the center of it, he started to cry out. And he cried out to Jesus, it said, and he said, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And said, many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, they said, just be quiet. Don't bother him. Just be quiet. Be still. But it said he cried out the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy. And it said Jesus stood still. Do you know that when we will cry out to the Lord this morning, the Lord is going to stand still and listen to the request that we have. Jesus stood still with all of the commotion and all of the people that were vying for His attention. He stopped and He called to the blind man saying, be of good comfort. They called to the blind man. They said, be of good comfort. Rise, He calleth thee. In other words, the Lord's calling for you. Be of good comfort. He's heard your cry. And he cast his garment and he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. He said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Isn't that a wonderful story? A man was blind. And when you're blind, you can't see. You know, God gave us eyes that we could have vision. I know the other senses are good, but there's something about vision. Because when you have eyes, you can see light. You can look around and have some perspective. If you lose one of your eyes, you lose depth perception. Everything becomes a little bit flatter. You don't see the depth of things as well. But when you have the eyes and you have your vision, you see light, you can put a face to the name. You know, people that have gotten blind, they remember and they see things through what they remember things as being. If you're blind from birth, what does red mean? What does the color green mean? You say, well, it's like the grass. And so then you go and fill the grass. And so when people talk about green, you've associated with a texture or a feel, but you really don't know what green is because you've never seen it. If you have had vision and then lost it, there is still something that is tied to the memory of what used to be. Bartimaeus lost his vision. And when you don't have vision, you know, it's amazing what blind people can do. I am amazed they develop some of their other senses and they can be in a place that they're familiar with and they could get around in a way that you think they have sight. But if you take them and put them in uncharted territory, it is dangerous for a blind person. Because I've never been there, there can be obstacles in the path. There can be changes that maybe they had an assumption that this was a clear path, but then there's an obstacle, something new. It's treacherous to be blind in a new situation. Do you know the Lord intended, and again, for these physical eyes, they're valuable, but the Lord gave us spiritual eyes that He wants us to see this morning? Spiritual vision is much more important than physical vision. I don't want to lose my sight, but you know what happens in life? But it's important this morning that we have spiritual vision, the ability to discern and to see things from a spiritual perspective. And as we look in the Word and see what the Word says this morning, I would challenge us to consider our lives this morning. The decisions that we are making and the choices that we are making, are we making them according to what our physical eyes see? Or are we making them according to spiritual vision? Lord, help us to see spiritually this morning. In John chapter 9, verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see." This is the reason Jesus came, for those that were blinded, and He was speaking spiritually. For those that don't have spiritual perspective, for those that do not see the eternal consequences and the eternal ramifications of choices and decisions in our life, Jesus came that our eyes could be opened to eternal things. He came that our eyes could be opened and that we could see beyond what we see with the physical eyes. And know that there are spiritual consequences to decisions that we're making today. He said that those that see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now we look at that and think, wait, how did Jesus come to make people blind? Contextually, He was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who professed that they were so spiritual. They acted like they understood it all and had everything right. But do you know the reality is this? When truth and when light is shown on our pathway that we might see, if we have a receptive heart where we were blind, we have sight. When the truth is shown, we receive the truth with an open heart. But it is also just as true that when the light is shown on our pathway and God reveals Himself to us, if I am caught up in my own thinking, in my own understanding, in my own self-righteousness, and I reject the truth of God's Word, I then become blind. I can be wise in my own conceits, but in the eyes of God, I have become blinded because I didn't receive it. You know, when we can come and hear the truth preached, same things happens. When the effect of truth is that we will become, our eyes will be open, or we will become more blinded. It's up to us how we receive truth. It's up to us how we receive it. Think about David for a little bit this morning, and there is a wonderful illustration in the 73rd Psalm. I'd like to just read a few verses, and we're not going to take the time to read through the whole passage, but David was struggling with spiritual blindness. And it illustrates what blindness can do to us. Psalm 73, we're just going to skip through a few of these verses. Verse 2, David said, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." In other words, David was looking out on the wicked. He was looking out on people in the world, and it just seemed like they were prospering. Have you ever been there? Looked at people that weren't serving God, and it just seemed like they're prospering. It seems like that things are just going real well, and here I'm trying to serve God, and it seems like I'm the one that's getting in trouble. And the wicked, it just seems like that they're prospering. But take note, David said, "My feet were almost gone. I was about to slip. I was envious of the foolish." And he went on to talk more about that in verse 12. He said, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain." Here I am trying to make right decisions, and just seems like I'm struggling. It's not fair. Look on the world, and it seems like here that they're not even trying to do right, and it seems like they're being blessed in the things of this world. And here I'm trying to serve God and trying to be obedient to what the Bible teaches, and it just seems like it's just in vain. Spiritual vision, folks, is important. This was some blindness that David had. Well, I'm thankful it didn't stop there. Verse 17. Well, verse 16, he said, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." It's like, Lord, I don't understand. I'm getting envious. It seemed like everybody else is prospering in the world until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. When I came into the sanctuary, it changed my perspective. When I looked from a worldly with my vision, my earthly vision, I saw them prospering, and I started to look after thinking, I think I'm serving God in vain. But I came in the sanctuary. I came into the presence of God, and all of a sudden I saw things differently. I got some spiritual vision, and I saw what the consequence was going to be of denying the Lord. Because there's going to be an end this morning to all of our choices and decisions. And when it appears on the surface that this is what would be good and profitable in the flesh, are we looking at it with our earthly eyes, or are we looking at it through spiritual eyes? Folks, we are desperate for spiritual vision this morning. We need to look at things through the eyes of God, knowing that there is an eternal end. In verse 21, then David said, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins." In other words, I'm ashamed. He started to feel ashamed. He said, "So foolish was I in ignorance. I was as a beast before thee." I'm so ashamed, Lord. I started looking at things through these physical eyes, and I was feeling envious, and it didn't seem fair, and it just seemed like everybody else was prospering. But then I came into the sanctuary, and I felt ashamed. Lord, help us this morning to come into the sanctuary. It's important for us to come where the Word of God is preached. Coming in and hearing the messages from the Lord to help us have spiritual perspective, spiritual vision. But in your own personal life, coming into the sanctuary of the Lord. That, Lord, I know this is my thinking. But, Lord, I'm going to lay that down, and I want to come in to the sanctuary where I can hear your voice. That you can talk to me. And that's what you testified to this morning. Coming into the sanctuary. And all of a sudden, things start looking different. Isn't that a blessing to come into the sanctuary? But what will happen to us if we fail to come into the sanctuary this morning? Do you remember the congregation in Revelation 13 that they said we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? Spiritually, we've got the doctrines right. We've got all this lined up. And the Spirit said unto them, Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In other words, you have a head knowledge. You have a head knowledge, but you can't see. You're blinded. Folks, it's important for us to come into the sanctuary of the Lord and inquire after Him, or else we are going to be blinded by the influences of the world that we live in. We're going to be blinded. The Scripture talks about, let's just turn and read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. He said here, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath done what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Folks, the world is blinding the minds of people. And if we don't come into the sanctuary of the Lord to get the mind of God, that we could have spiritual vision and make spiritual decisions based on spiritual vision, not based on earthly vision, we're going to get in trouble. But the world is blinding people's minds. Have you ever talked with someone and bring out truth and say, I just don't see it? If you don't see something, what is the cause? Is it possible this morning that we can have some spiritual blind spots? Is that possible? That I've been saved for over 40 years, and I have been saved for 40 years. Spiritual blind spots. I don't see it. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. We are desperate for the Lord. Folks, there are young people, there are influences that are working so strong against all of us this morning. The things of this world, if we're not careful, we will be blinded by the ideology of the world. Do what feels good. Look at your life. Do what will make you successful. Successful in terms of what? Money, recognition, temporal things, physical things, pleasure? Or will we be successful spiritually? Are these things that will draw me closer to God? Are these things that will ensure and give safety to my decision to follow Christ? Or if I do this, will it threaten my decision to follow Jesus in every area of life? What vision are we operating off of? So Lord, when all I can see is with my eyes, and it seems like this is the best thing, Lord, would you open my spiritual understanding? Lord, would you open my eyes? Because I don't want to be blinded by the world. Do you know how long it takes to be blinded? It doesn't take long at all, does it? Physically, it doesn't take long. There are people that have a laser across their eyes, burn it, they're blind. Microseconds. Have you ever watched people spiritually that one time had vision and could see spiritually? Have you seen people become blinded spiritually? How long did it take? I've seen people get blinded over a process of many years, and I've also seen it happen really, really fast. And you know what? All of us here probably would say, "That no, I'm not going to do that." How many times have you heard people say, I would never do that? You leave the sanctuary of the Lord, and there is no telling what we will do. Because I've seen people that have sat right in this chapel, seen people that have been under the sound of the gospel, and it didn't take long when they turned back to the things of the world. They lost their vision. Until today, they will tell you they are saved, and they're doing things that are wrong. And you say, how can that be? They have a good heart. No, they lost their good heart when they walked away from the things that they knew were truth. You understand? It doesn't take very long, folks, for us to lose spiritual vision. The world is blinding the eyes of people. False doctrine, works of the flesh. The devil is doing everything he can to hinder our spiritual vision this morning. This is where compromise comes in. Young people, I say to the young people, because you are in a vulnerable place. We are living in a time, even right among some of God's people, that there's too much spiritual blindness to things. People saying, well, that doesn't matter. You can go there and it doesn't matter. You can listen to that and it doesn't matter. You can watch that and it doesn't matter. You want to follow the Lord. You have a good heart. What about spiritual vision? How are these things affecting our families? How are these things going to affect the congregation? How are these things going to affect God's people as a whole? If we start, oh, that doesn't matter, this doesn't matter, what will we look like in 10 years? What will we as a people stand for in 10 years? If we lose spiritual vision, we are going to be more and more like the world and we're not going to be as close to God, because holiness is about communion with God. It's not about making life difficult. It's not about trying to be different from the world just to be different. But where it makes an impact in my relationship with God, that's where I want to be different from the world. If this thing is a hindrance to my integrity with God, that's where I want to be different. But we're going to have spiritual vision, or we will go right along in a form of godliness and we're not going to have communion with God. And then what happens is, what will our children say? What will our grandchildren say? Oh, it doesn't matter. It only takes a few years to lose truth in a family. Parents that quit teaching their children, this gets into another mess the Lord gave me for another time, been carrying around with me. I don't know when the Lord's going to have me preach it, but let me just share this. For compromise to set in, it comes when we start losing our spiritual vision. But what happens is, if we quit teaching truth, because there are people that aren't living it, and we're afraid to teach it, all it takes for compromise is for a few good men to do nothing and say nothing. And then parents will say, well, we don't want to hear it at church because we don't want someone to be offended, because if they come to service, we don't want them to be offended, so we don't talk about that anymore. Then we don't talk about it in the home anymore, and pretty soon it's lost. And then our children or our grandchildren have no clue at all. I know there are things today that I could tell you, used to this was taught more about, and young people say, I've never heard that before. Had young people tell me, I've never heard that taught before. I'm not pulling it out of an old book, but you go back to principles of holiness and purity. You've got to have spiritual vision, though. If we lose our spiritual vision, folks, there are many things out in the world that we could say, oh, it doesn't matter. But it impacts our relationship with God. So, Lord, open our eyes this morning that we might see. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't experience it. I don't expect the world to understand the life that we live when we follow the Word of God. I don't understand unsaved people to look on and say, well, why are you doing that? I had someone make a comment to me kind of similar to what they did to Brother Sean about the way he dressed the other day out in the 100-degree weather. And you know, the thing is, I don't expect people to understand because they don't have spiritual vision. You know, you can explain to someone that is blind what green is, but how do you do that? How do you explain what green is if you can't explain orange and blue and red? It's really hard. Because they just don't have that conception. Spiritually, folks, how can we expect the world to understand? But just because the world doesn't understand doesn't mean we should say it doesn't matter. If we are born again, we can begin to see and understand things that the world is blinded by. So then who are we going to look to for advice this morning? Young people, what friends are you going to ask? What do you think about it? What friends are you going to ask about their for counsel and in the words escaping me. When you're looking for someone to back up what you're doing, who are you going to ask? Are you going to ask someone that has real spiritual vision? If you're going to ask someone that's living kind of close to the edge of the world, you're going to get a worldly response. If you want a spiritual response, ask someone that's living close to God, that has integrity and an understanding of the Word, and if they tell you something you don't want to hear, it's a time to be very careful about going against that counsel and advice. Because if you're blind, you can't see. And you can get all the spiritual advice you want, and if you don't take it, what it does is it reveals how we're blind. Lord, open up. There's a song that said, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, open our eyes. If you want to have vision this morning, we're going to have to open up our eyes, coming into the sanctuary of the Lord, saying, Lord, first of all, I want to be born again. I don't understand. I've been living in sin. First thing I need to do is be born again. This is the danger of growing up where a lot of truth is taught. Because we can have a head knowledge, but we don't understand it. Yeah, I know, I've heard it preached, and mom and dad live that way, and it's just kind of traditional. But I think I see it a little bit differently, and I'm a little sharper than mom and dad are. A little sharper than grandpa and grandma, a little sharper than the pastor. Just got a little edge on things, they just don't see it. What is it we don't see? What is it your parents don't see and understand? Or is it possible that I've been blinded by the world and mom and dad aren't so far off when I look into the Word of God and I say, Lord, I want to see You, and all of a sudden my eyes start opening up. Oh, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding this morning. Open the eyes that we might see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They'll see. You want to see this morning? Let's get rid of the pollution. And I say, oh, pollution? You know, this gets really personal now. In our own personal lives, if we want to see God and we want spiritual vision, is there anything that the Lord's saying, I'd like you to lay that down? Yeah, there is. But Lord, I want you to help me over here. I need some help over here. And the Lord's saying, yes, but over here. I'm talking about over here. No, Lord, I'm not talking about that. I want You to help me over here. No, I feel like my dad. Growing up, my brother and I, we got in a little trouble. And start to say, now, why did you do that? Well, my brother. No, I'm not talking about your brother. I'm talking about you. We try to tell the Lord, I want help right here. And He starts dealing with something else. We're like, no, Lord. Like, yeah, let's not talk about that right now, Lord. I want You to help me here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Maybe the Lord's saying, you do business and clear some things out over here, and I'll give you what you need over here. Works that way in my life. Say, but Lord, I need You. Lord brought to me today, but you know, there's something I want You to do over here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want vision this morning, we want to be pure in heart. Be willing to acknowledge needs in our life and bring them to the Lord. The Scripture talks so much, and we don't have time this morning to look at all the Scriptures that deal with this subject. But over in 2 Peter, remember he talked about in the first chapter about giving all diligence and add your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, charity. He said, if you do these things, and they abound in you, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Does it always make sense to forgive? Does it always make sense to be patient? What they need is a little bit of patience to line them out. What eyes are we looking through? Physical or spiritual? Temperance, godliness. Folks, these things don't always make sense to the human physical eye. But when we look beyond and look to the other side, He said, oh, if you do these things, he said, you can see. But if you don't do these basic elements of serving God, of charity and forgiveness and patience and love and godliness and temperance, he said, you're blind and can't see it far off. It means you've got partial vision. But you know what it means to be nearsighted? It means you can see things when they're close. But folks, spiritually, I don't want to be spiritually nearsighted. I want to be able to look down further down the road and recognize that what I do today is going to have impact next year and eventually in eternity. So, you know, I could take someone else. My eyes are getting worse. You know, with older people, have you ever seen people do this? You young people, have you ever seen people looking at something and they do start putting it out away from them? You know what I've noticed in the last year? I confess, I had to start doing that, and it feels kind of strange because I always thought it looked funny when people did that. And I've noticed that now I'm starting to sometimes I can't see like I used to. My eyes are losing their ability to adapt. And so now I'm having to change how I look at things. What lenses are we looking through this morning at life? You know, we can put on glasses, worldly glasses, and things look one way. You can put on someone else's glasses and it can be real blurry. Or there are some that could just make everything bigger than what it really is. You know, it magnifies it to the point it's whoa. What eyes are we looking through? What glasses are we looking through this morning? Folks, we want to look and see how God sees. So that means, Lord, I need you in my life to reveal and to show, because I don't want to be blind and I want to see as God sees. Share just very quickly, the scripture in Psalms 19:8 says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want spiritual eyes? It said the commandment enlightens the eyes. If you want vision this morning, we need to look into the Word and see what it says. Another verse, Psalms 36:9 says, in thy light shall we see light. In other words, Jesus is the source of all truth. Not my opinion, not the world. Okay? Not what the world's saying. It'll blind you. But in the light of the Lord, we'll see light. And he also said, I have seen thee, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. There is another scripture, and I, at the expense of taking it out of context, there's a truth here. Scripture says, where there's no vision, what happens? People perish. And I know that's talking about some different things, but in light of spiritual vision, folks, do you know what's going to happen if we don't have spiritual vision this morning? We're going to perish. And then we're going to be the blind leading the blind. What happens? What did Jesus say when the blind lead the blind? They both fall in a ditch. So I want some confirmation and someone to make me feel better, so I'll go to someone that thinks the same way and ask them for advice. You heard me talk about preacher shopping before too. Put the name preacher on. They're a preacher. So well, I got counsel from the ministry. I've had people tell me that. Folks, who are you asking? Did you go to the ministers that you thought would agree with you? Or did you just go to people and say, Lord, what do you have? What does the Spirit have? Or did you, you know what they do on Trident gum? Notice that it used to, I don't know if it still does, it says 3 out of every 5 dentists recommend this gum. It used to say that. You know what a dentist told me when I was just a child? I remember a dentist telling me what those gum companies do is they don't send out an official survey. They send out a preliminary survey to dentists and see what they say, and then they choose what statistics they want, and they send out the formal survey and recommendation form to them, then they can make what they want on the bottom. Spiritually, folks, let's not shop around. What's the Bible say? Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what I say. What's the Word say? Let's not shop around, but let's come to the source this morning that our spiritual eyes would be enlightened, that we would see Jesus this morning. I'd like to conclude this morning in 2 Corinthians, in closing, in the 4th chapter, in the 18th verse. He said here, while we look not at the things which are seen, he was talking about physically. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Folks, it was drawing a distinction between physical and spiritual. What are we looking to this morning? I want to encourage us to look to the Lord for spiritual vision. You say, well, how can I see? Come into the sanctuary. That was one of them. Come in the sanctuary. Be born again. If you're not born again, don't expect to understand all the intricacies of holiness. It's a losing proposition. Be born again. Come into the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. Be illuminated by His Word. And folks, we're going to be able to see. But I just want to caution us, and it's a very serious caution. The world is blinding the minds of a lot of people right now. Sitting right under the sound of the gospel. They're being blinded. So we need to be on guard this morning. Let's be careful and cautious and stay in the sanctuary lest we become blind.